I mean, if you're right up there by Jesus, if you're a 9 or 10 in your prayer life, could I see your hand if that's you? You're that effective in your prayer life? Man, not one person. Okay, one person. God bless you. Good. Yeah, I'll take that. All right. God. How about maybe a 6 or 5? We made it a little bit lower, but 6 or 5, anybody? It's okay. How many are going to vote even at all? You're not even. Okay, good. All right. God bless you. Good. A couple of you are going to vote. Amen. How about 4 or 3? 4 or 3. How many voted twice already? No, you 4 or 3. That's good. Thumbs up. Amen. You're being honest. 1 or 2. Oh, God bless you. Amen. Brothers, honest. You know, mine, man, I've been a 0, honestly, in my prayer life at times. And I'm the pastor of the church. Y'all need to pray for the pastor, right, everybody? Of course you do, right? And, you know, I thought maybe, you know, we would get all 9 or 10s, but we're not there yet. And I'm so glad that we're a church that's needing help from God today. Right, everybody? Even if you didn't tell the truth, you're not going to go to hell today. You didn't tell the truth in church. It's okay. God will forgive you. Right, everybody? Amen. I hope so. Right? So, but Elijah, we're in part 3 of this beautiful series, and we're learning about how human he was, but yet how he was used of God. And he was just like you and I, no different. He was a man just like I am a man. He was a person just like you're a person today, and he experienced difficulties. Next week, I'll speak about how depression came upon this man and the greatest victory of his life, how he got depressed, and how it's so easy to open that door once you experience a great high, how you can get real low. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about in this room today because I've been there. And Elijah faced depression just like every person faces depression in this room at times. And God saw him through. And there are keys not to stay in depression. Isn't that good? You want to make sure that you're here next week for that one. But this week, let's look at Elijah. Our theme scripture all month long has been James chapter 5 on the big screen, verse 17. Is it there? Yeah, there it is. Elijah was a man just like us. Yeah, just like me and you. And he prayed. Somebody say earnestly. Earnestly. That's not a guy's name. If your name's Ernest, I like that. But he prayed with all of his heart. He prayed with passion. He prayed with fire. He prayed that there was some intensity. Well, I'm just not that way. Well, you get mad in your home. You show anger. You show some passion that way. So I believe that you can pray with passion. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, something ticks you off. Why not let go the other way and let God fire you up in that way? So he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for how many years? On that land, it was drought filled. And so God's will for your life isn't a mystery. It's from heaven that needs to be brought down to earth. And so we must decree it. We must speak it. We must say the promises of God are yes and amen for us. And when we say those words, they're brought down from heaven and they're inactive. They're incited by us when we pray them and they come to fruition. They happen because we prayed heaven to earth. Yeah, that's good, right, everybody? And so I'm amening myself a lot more than you're amening, but that's okay, amen. I want you to discover when you encounter something so impossible by man, by doctors, by lawyers, that they can't, that only God can do. I want you to have those keys and tools that you walk away with and say, I can make this thing happen today. And just like Elijah did today. Man, does this really work? You know, I've been praying for years. You know, you might say, for my marriage, it doesn't get any better. I've been praying for my anger problem. It gets worse. I've been, my addiction, I still stayed addicted to this. And I pray. How can I get free? How? Do you know that you're not going to need faith in heaven? And I thought of that. And I thought, how is it? Because you're finally going to see Jesus. The streets of gold, your mansion, amen. You're going to see all the things. I'm going to see the people that have gone, John Sprinkle, my dad, loved ones that have gone. I'm going to see those people in heaven, and it won't take faith. Do you understand that? So everything that I need on this earth, I need faith here and now to see the invisible, to see those things that I'm praying for. And so they come into being right now, and I see the invisible take place in reality, heaven on earth today, and it happens in this moment today, and thank God. Impossible situations is where faith works best in. The impossible atmosphere that we need right now is the best right now because faith can be unleashed in our midst right now, and thank God for it today. My home is just like your home, and thank God every one of our homes is wired for electrical. There is a generation probably among us, if we look hard enough today, that are real mature and they're gold in this in our sanctuary, and they remember the time when their home didn't have electricity. They remember the time that their homes weren't wired, so you but now you walk in and you from the electrical grid all the way to your home, you have power. You have a source of power. But you need a point of contact. So if I want the ceiling fan to turn on, if I want the AC to turn on, or just a simple light, I turn it on by the switch. Somebody say switch.
Switch.
And that's my point of contact. Did you know, beloved, that you are the point of contact for heaven to come to earth? You're the switch that God would use so our nation would change.
Amen.
You're the switch that God would use so atmospheres would change of faith and faith would rise in your home. You're the switch that would change somebody that's not well and healing would come to their body because they need healing. Do you understand that? You're that point of so God always needs a point of contact. And you're it today. He can't look anywhere else. You're the man of God. You're the woman of God that needs to be used. Is that okay with everybody? And so I believe this. When I get to heaven, there's going to be all these storehouses and warehouses that I'm going to get. There's a lot of moving around, and I know it's necessary, but would you respect the word of God right now? Because somebody's been wanting to make this announcement for a whole long time, and I'm finally stepping up to make it. Not being mean, but try not to move around because there's an anointing that's precious. And if you move this way or that way, somebody looks at you, it's going to be missed. Amen? So let's lock in and let's get God's help in this thing. I'm smiling. I love it, right? Amen. I love you guys. Amen. Warehouses in heaven. The golf tour will be taken. Golf cart tour will be taken by. Was that okay, Alex? Thank you. Amen. And so now, Alex has wanted me to say this for years now, and I haven't stepped up. Next time, next week, Alex will make it if that's okay with y'all. Just keep reminding you, sit down, amen, in the name of Jesus. So anyway, the golf car tour, it was going around, and Simon Peter's driving you around. He goes, hey, here's your storehouse, Nava. And I go, well, what's up with that? I got a storehouse in heaven. He said, yeah. He said, can I go in it? Yeah. So he unlocks it, and these storehouse are all these blessings that were laid up for me in heaven. Well, those are earth's blessings. Yeah, you never prayed them down. You never enacted heaven coming to earth and never decreed that that should come down. And they're not material possessions. They could be, but that's the small stuff. Gold is what we walk on heaven. That's the cheap stuff. This is legacy. This is your sons and daughters living for God. This is you being the man of God for the rest of your life and the woman of God. This is you finally being set free and being righteous. Amen. You're not breaking God's heart. Not. God doesn't get sad anymore about your life like a father does when a son disappoints him. You get righteousness. Amen. It's a gift of God. And you walk in it. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Not going to beat anybody up today, but we're going to look towards heaven for our answer. Right, everybody? I want my warehouse empty by the time I get to heaven. How about you? Amen, Pastor. You did good. Preach it. Amen. Whenever I say something good, I got to encourage myself because somebody else is encouraging me today, but I'm going to do it today. Amen. I had to learn to text a couple of years ago. I had one of those phones that you would slide. It was a slider, I think. And so my children taught me how to text, and I would, to make it easy, I would text in all caps. And so I would say, when are you coming home? And my children had to teach me, hey, Dad, it's like you're screaming at me. I said, no, I'm not. I'm just saying, when are you coming home? Are you okay? Are you alive? And it was all in caps. And so they came and schooled me on how to text. You don't have to do all cap letters because that seems like you're screaming. Elijah, he prayed in all caps. He was that intense. It wasn't a lowercase. It wasn't it. Elijah just said, P, capital P, R, R, capital R, A, capital A, and Y. He prayed that way.
Amen.
And that was a passion that he had because he brought heaven to earth today. He brought fire down, didn't he? And so the context of what we do today is this. In our messages, Elijah last week we discovered prayed fire down by a simple prayer. It was anointed. Wood was wet. It was trenched with wood. It was trenched with fire. And you need to hear that message because it's a barn burner if you hadn't heard it yet. And he prayed a simple prayer and fire came down. Now, before that, there were like 450 curandero prophets from Baal. And they prayed real hard. Not only did they pray hard, they prayed all day. All day they prayed. And not even a spark, not even smoke came from that altar. They prayed. They cut themselves. They danced. And nothing ever happened. But the complete opposite happened when the person of God, the man of God that sits right now in the heartbeat of living faith, you and I, will pray a passionate prayer and heaven will connect. Amen. And God will answer your prayers today. What were the secrets? What were the things that really aren't secret that we can look at God's word and look out about coming out of the drought that you have right now spiritually or in your soul today? Amen. And Elijah was ready for rain. He was ready. Are you ready? Amen. And you say amen in church, and I respect that. You didn't answer wrong. Some of y'all don't even want to answer because you think it's a trick question all the time, but thank God for the brave people that never learn. No, that we keep going on with you. We keep going on with you. Amen. Because you need to say amen. Are we ready, really? There's a drought of the soul sometimes that everything looks good on the outside because you wore your Sunday best, but on the inside you're dying. No one knows that, but you came. And there's a drought coming. There's a drought in your family. There's a drought in your marriage. There's something of parchment, parched, you're dry. And you want God's life again. You want His touch again. You want a miracle to happen today. Well, I'm going to dedicate this sermon to you today that God can transform your prayer life forever. He can give you the tools right now that you need so you can pray. You can put Him first again in your life right now. These are truths. Amen. Prayer clouds are rising right now. And I want to go ahead and look at 1 Kings on the big screen, 42, before I go ahead and move on. Elijah climbed. Some of you don't have this in your handout. You don't. So look at it on the screen or look at it in front. Elijah climbed to the very top of Mount Carmel. Say Mount Carmel. And I looked at that on Google Maps, and it's about the size of like a hill country, you know, climbing up the hill country mountain and looking. It's not a giant mountain, but it's the vantage point that you can see down below. And it was his spot to get to. And he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Somebody say hard position. That's not an easy thing to do, even if you're flexible like I am. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said the servant. Seven times, Elijah said. Somebody say, go back. Go back, go back, go back, go back, he told him seven times. And the seventh time, the servant reported, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. It's a cloud. It's about that size, prophet, and it's arising from the sea. It's a cloud about that size, and it's rising. What can God do with a simple prayer, a powerful prayer, a prayer that you would pray with your heart, a prayer that you would pray and God would move right now today? I'm going to give you some points here of exact truth for real prayer. Number one is this, humbling prayer, that you humble yourself before the presence of Almighty God. He didn't feel Elijah just to go through the motions and to keep just walking through a small, common prayer. It wasn't adequate. The rain had stopped for 3.5 years. He needed a miracle today. And so on top of Mount Carmel was his place to pray. My wife, who is in our first service, and now she's taking care of our beautiful babies here. And your babies are going to be so blessed because Irma's watching them. She's going to bless your kids today if they're in there. I want to be in that church over there. Amen. How about y'all? I cry a lot. How about you guys? And so he gets to Mount Carmel, and I think of my wife because she has her Mount Carmel. But it's our bedroom closet, our master bedroom closet. And she walks in and she closes the door. And it's an inner door, actually, because it's our master restrooms in there. So that door closes. And I know when that light is on and that closet's going, see, it's my closet too, but she's taking it over. What's up with that, huh? More of her stuff than mine. But our ladies need to look that way, right, guys? I'm kind of being a coward going both ways here. And she's in there, she's praying. There's been times that she's had to get to the place that she wouldn't get disturbed. She wouldn't get interrupted. The cell phone was off. And she would get to that prayer closet because our marriage needed help. And someone needed healing in our family or in our church family. Someone was hurting in this, the heart that we call family. Some, my children needed their touch from Jesus. And so she goes in there. She doesn't come out. And she prays and seeks God. We all need our place. Elijah had Mount Carmel. Irma has a prayer closet. Where's your place that you won't get interrupted? That God can speak to you? That I got to give a prayer on the run. Those are okay. But you won't have power in your life if you do that all the time. Do you know that today? Yeah, well, I'm just not that. No, you're that way because if you can spend 2 hours in front of a television set, 2 hours on the internet, then you can pray. I get bored. Well, I'm going to teach you not to get bored today. Amen. Are you ready to receive? Yeah, today. In the Old Testament, they had no birthing wards. They had no hospitals and that you could go to birth something. So Elijah does something uniquely different. He says that he bent down, Elijah 18:42 on the big screen are on your hand. He bent down to the ground and he put his face. Let me go ahead and show you how that is. No, I better not. Amen, because I might get stuck there. He put his face between his knees. Can you imagine that? You get as low as you can in the presence of God. Your physical posture counts. It really counts today. Never will forget John Sprinkle praying with me in Building 1. And we were praying together, seeking God. We were in chairs and we were praying. And then all of a sudden, something started taking place in John's prayer. He said, Lord, I just want to get so close to you because I love you. And I wish I could bring back that moment because you would be so touched too. He says, I just want to get so close to you, Lord, that and he was an older man at this moment too, like I can always remember him being. And he says, I just want to get so close to you, Lord. I got to get low. I got to get low. I got to get low. I got to get low so I can get nearer to you, Jesus. And he said, y'all know what I'm talking about. And he got to where his face was planted on the ground and the carpet was there in his face. And he was just seeking God that way because he wanted to be. And I'm here in the chair. Wow. And I'm seeing this amazing man pray in front of me and have communion with God. And it changed my life today. You want to get in that position. The Old Testament, again, they didn't have labor rooms for mamas that were expecting. So they went into travail and they birthed babies by pushing, but by squatting. And they would push, push, push. And Elijah was pregnant by God's dream that it would rain again. And he had to push. He had to push. And it's physical presence that changed. Something happened physically so it can change. The natural had to change, so he had to do something spiritually. He had to change his physical posture so something could take place spiritually. Yes. And I got there. And so can you. But you got to change something physically. You got to do something physically before it can change spiritually in your home or in your heart or in your child's life today or in the healing that manifests itself that needs to take place. Do you understand that today? So you got to push. You got to make it happen today, amen, physically. You got to get in that birth. Well, I want that miracle, but you don't want to get pregnant by God. You want the baby, you want the miracle, but you don't want to get pregnant. And the way you get pregnant by God is you get into His presence. And His presence isn't just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, can I say that in church? It's intimacy, it's time. It takes time to get in the presence of God. All that the worship team prepared for us today, that looked a little bit easy, but do you know it took hours, like as it was explained up here a moment ago? It took instruments syncing together and them rehearsing together, and then the presence of God came because they worked real hard for it. And it's not a painful thing, but it's a humbling thing to birth that baby. Now, if you birth a big-headed baby, I'll be praying for you. Give me a good amen. Who was a big-head baby here? I was. Mama told me, man, you have a big head. Amen. Now, if you want a small miracle, have a small-headed baby. But I want a big baby. Give me a good amen. I want God to do something big. Amen. So I'm going to have to push. Amen. It's going to cost me something. Amen. Give me an epidural. Please, Jesus. Amen. There's problems there. Problems are opportunities that you have that it's beyond money. It's beyond going to the lawyer. It's beyond finding the right church. God has to provide for you today. So you're going to have to push. You're going to have to humble yourself and labor, go into labor and believe God for your miracle today. Prayer is that point of contact where God's power comes and His provision comes for your life today. There was a young Bible college student from Ghana, Africa, and he'd come from the seminary that he was studying to back to his community in Ghana, Africa. And there weren't too many churches, but his great dream was he was going to plant a church in his community in Africa, and he was going to be the pastor there. His dream came about. But while he was a student, he came back on break full of fire, full of God, and he began to witness to people. He said, "Would you be interested in a church?" He said, "I sure would." He said, "Well, can I tell you the story of Christ, of Jesus, how he came?" And he witnessed to people. He said that they were that close to coming to Christ, but something would hold them back. He was witnessing to everybody he could, but no one would come to Christ. Nobody would give their heart completely and surrender. And he noticed, and what he heard as he stayed there long enough, there was a witch doctor in that community that had everybody, that had had a stronghold on everybody. And that witch doctor proved his power by having a mesh basket that had water, and that hanging mesh basket would hang outside of his house, water contained in a mesh basket that would never leak through. True story. And so he knew that God had a fight, that he was in a fight and God was going to win. And so he learned the principles of prayer, and that young Bible college student went and prayed outside the house of this witch doctor, and he asked God to evaporate that water, to shrink, to make that water go away. And so he prayed all night, and he prayed and prayed, and he went to sleep outside the house of this individual. And the house of this individual, he was awoken in the morning by a bunch of commotion, and they found that wicker basket, there was no more water in it. And the witch doctor is like freaking out, and the people are freaking out. And he finally had a voice to say, "My God did that. My God won because I asked him." Yeah, amen. And if there's a spiritual battle in your life, it may take all night. But can you imagine what would happen instead of we stayed up all night for the election results, if we stayed up all night for God and believing to get set free, believing that our children are walking with God, believing that our church is blessed today. Amen. What's it going to take for you to change your generation? Amen. And I believe it's a humble prayer. In James chapter 4, verse 6, welcome the internet audience, but let's proclaim the word of God with them. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 10, out loud, not out soft. Let's say it loud enough that they can hear it on the internet. Everybody, right? Everybody on three? One, two, three. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, and He will. Your posture speaks volumes to God. Move away from ceremonial prayers to relationship prayers. God, I'm small, but you're mighty. God, I'm incapable, but you are very capable right now of handling this. God, I need a miracle in my life. Help me, Jesus, right now with my family. Right, everybody? Elijah, he didn't cause the rain. Elijah wasn't the maker of rain, but you know what? He knew the one that could make rain. And so do you, beloved. So do you, beloved. So do you, my brother. So do you. You know the one that can bring a miracle to your home. You know the one that can heal your son today at this hour. You know the one. Amen. Would we humble ourselves right now before the hand of Almighty God right now, and He'll lift us up right now. I'll see that miracle with you. Amen. Amen. The second thought is this: specifically pray. Just, you're praying specific. You're asking God, "This is what I need, Lord." Porfulio, remember him? Yeah, man, he went to a revival. He was on, you know, he was on the, he was amen, and he loved revivals. He went every week. And he went to this one, and the preacher was preaching. He said, "Those that need to come to the altar, come up front, and I'm going to pray for you." So Porfulio got in line, and it was his turn. The preacher asked him, what do you need? He said, I need prayer for my hearing. He says, okay. So that preacher was a faith preacher like I am, and he put his finger in one ear. He put that finger in that one deaf ear, and he put his hand on the other, and he began to pray and rock him, and he was rocking him and praying for his hearing, praying that it was. And, you know, finally a moment later, he put his finger out. He said, are you better now? He says, how's your hearing? And he says, preacher, I won't know till Monday because that's when I go to the courthouse. Some of y'all, that ain't funny, amen, but see, common prayers aren't specific prayers. They're, God be with us, God bless this food, bless this grub, rub-a-dub-dub, right? We pray general prayers. God help me, bless my day, Lord help me to have a good day at work. That's not hard. Why don't you pray, give God something to challenge, man. Give God something that only He can do. Pray a big prayer. Pray something that only God can. Give us traveling mercies this day, Lord. Well, if you just put your seatbelt on and obey the speed limit and defensive drive like they taught you in driver's ed, you'll probably make it. Do something impossible that only God can do. Save everyone, Lord, in this community. God has to show up for something like that, right? God, ignite every leader. At Living Faith, to live passionate for you. Come on, pastor, don't be preaching that way. Come on. Lord, ignite the pastor, amen? You pray for me. Only God can do that, right, everybody? You ain't going to do it as much as you pray, I mean, as much as you beg God for, right? You got to have God showing up, right, everybody? So prayer is that instrument of grabbing what's invisible and bringing it back and saying it's happening now. It's reality because you prayed. In Kings 18:43 on the screen, he specific, go and look towards the sea. It was a prayer, he told the servant. Elijah's still in that rocking position, that push position. And he says, he looked up for a moment because he's seeing it in heaven. And he's still squatting and he's pushing. And he's saying, go look towards the sea. And he went up and looked. And here it comes back. And I would hate to have been that servant because Elijah just, there was 850 prophets that he just killed. And so he's praying intense, and the servant comes back and runs. He goes and he says, there's nothing there. And I would have hate to given the man of God because he had such power, that bad report. How about you? I'm smart enough. How about you? I know that there's something happening even when there's nothing happening. Even when I can't, I don't have to go by feeling. I don't have to go by my sight, but I can hear spiritually. I can see spiritually, and so can you today. Amen. It takes faith to start with nothing. See nothing. Living Faith started with nothing. Look what God's done. And when you start with nothing, it helps you to build a larger platform of receiving God's blessing. Do you understand that? Do you think the disciples, when they fed 5,000 people, 5,000 men and women, that they had the coolers filled with brisket or even sandwich meat or bologna that they took them to the hillside where and these people are hungry? How are we going to feed them? Do you think they had coolers filled to do a on-site mobile food truck? They had nothing. And God used nothing to feed a bunch of people. Right, everybody? Do you think that the... Some of us might be in that nothing season where the doctor says there's nothing that we can do right now. It's perfect for a miracle now because nothing, God can do something behind the scenes, right, everybody? Amen. Someone's told you in a relationship, I feel nothing for you anymore. Our love is dead. That's a perfect place for God to do something. There's nothing we have to work with. There's no money. Well, God can still move, right? And you need to grab a hold of that. I prayed in building one that God would help us to get the city to allow us to go in and occupy it. And we were in a lockdown situation in building one, the other building where our children are at now. We prayed and sought God. And weeks happened and we were still believing God and we were meeting in our storefront, and we needed a miracle because of the rent escalating and our money wasn't that large and believing God. So you can't tell me nothing about lack. I know what it is to lack and believe God for. So every summer that comes up, we got to tighten our belts, and we do. We live wisely around here, but God always provides. Amen. Amen. Hit your neighbor and say, don't go to sleep. Now you're about to miss your miracle. Amen. Stayed up too late. Amen. See, let me tell you about going to sleep in church. Can I pick on you a little bit more? Yeah. Going to sleep in church. See, if a guy's like this, like, hey, while I'm preaching, do you know what that tells me? You don't need anything. But if I see somebody receiving and saying, yeah, they need something from God. Amen. They're waiting on a word. Do you understand that today? And if you're inactive, your physical posture, your natural posture, it's a dynamic of what's going on spiritually. You just don't need anything. So take a good nap. But there are people in this room that need God, that need that miracle today. And in building one, we were praying and fasting, and we did the Jericho March thing. We marched around the building 7 times, and on the 7th time we did biblically, we shouted real loud. On the 7th, we were gritones out there. And then what ended up happening is, well, we were on Marbach Road. It was during the day, but it was still okay. Nobody looked over. Nobody, hey, you Jesus freaks. Nobody ever did that. We believed God. But I remember walking around, and I was with a leader at that 7th time. We shouted. We asked God, Lord, open up the doors so we can get in this building. And I remember it had just kind of rained. And we looked over at Richard and Francis' neighborhood where they live, right across the street, and we saw this big rainbow. And I didn't say it. He did. He said, that's what it's all about. And I said, what? What you talking about, Willis? He said, no, that's what it's all about. He said, look at that rainbow. And he said, that's the promise of God. Amen. We're going to get this thing. It's going to be okay. And the promises of God are in the Bible. So you can pray specifically that it would come. I can listen to God, yes. But I can look at God's word, and as I read God's word, I can rehearse it. I can say, God, you want healing in my life because it's in the Bible. God, you want abundance in my life because it's in the Bible. Right, everybody? And so I'm not looking for a new word. I have the testaments, the old and new, that I can agree with God on, and God's word is spoken. Is that okay with everybody today? And so let's look at point three. Three is this: persistently. Somebody shout persistently. Persistently. Praying. It's not a monologue that you're doing all the talking. It's somebody shout dialogue. Dialogue. I love my wife and daughter. My daughter's home for the summer. And so when they get together in the car and I'm driving, I'm usually stuck driving. Is that cool or not? Yeah. They get to talking, and they have the gift of talking. And they're talking and talking. And I, every now and then, I think of something interesting, and I raise my hand so I can get a word in it. Because they talk and talk and talk. And then finally, when they're wore out and they've said their 5,000 words, the big dog can finally talk. Amen. Can you talk to your friend? Somebody say yes. Yes. Then you can talk to God. Amen. God just wants you to have a dialogue with him. That's why there's nothing greater than opening up your Bible and praying and reading God's word and declaring. I'm not looking for a new word. It's all been written. Amen? Amen. I don't need to pursue this or that. I have God's word. Thank God for revivals. Thank God for what he's doing on the earth, or face of the earth, with prophets and evangelists. But thank God I have my Bible. How about you? Amen. Yeah. If you don't have anything else, you got your Bible and you can pray today. And so Elijah had the word of God. And Elijah 18:43, let's read it together on three. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Go and look towards the sea, he told the servant. And he went up and looked, and there was nothing there. He said 7 times. Elijah said, go back. Somebody say, 7. The number of completion in the Bible, 7. So 7 times it was going to be complete. It was going to happen. Just because there's denial in the faith realm doesn't mean just because there's delay doesn't mean there's going to be denial. God is going to bring it about, especially in the faith realm. If it's something that God is going to honor God, why wouldn't God want it, his name honored through your prayer today? Right, everybody? But you got to keep pushing. You got to keep believing God. Push until something happens today. Go back, he told them, go back. This is how it is in faith. You keep going back, not once, not twice. Go back. There's nothing there. Go back again. He keeps going back, back and forth. And he's saying, four times. Go. That's how it feels in faith. It doesn't feel like it, man. It doesn't feel like nothing's taking place. Go back again the fifth time. Go back again the sixth time. That's how it is in the realm of faith. Don't give up. Your miracle's about to happen, but you can't give up. Right, everybody? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. And God loves to use nothing shall be impossible with God. Yeah, right, everybody? That's why James, in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent, hot, the effective prayer. What is it that will be effective in your home? What is it that will be effective in your family's life? What is it that will be effective health-wise in your life? That prayer, along with being a righteous person, the righteous person, it what? Come on, the rest of y'all, join them. Amen. It avails much right now. I'm looking at righteous people. You know why? Because you didn't make God sad today. You came to church. Amen. You break God's heart again. You came to church. It makes a difference. You miss a lot when you miss church. Amen. And when you come to church, it honors God. It blesses Him. And you become, it's a form of righteousness. It's right living. Amen. Well, you don't know what a hypocrite is. No, you're doing something right now. Right now, amen. Carry this Monday. Carry this during the week today. It's the first day of the week, amen. Let this momentum carry you today. It's right living today. Would we give God right now for the right start that we've had a 10-second praise break in the house of God? Come on, thank you, Lord. 8, 7, 6, 5, come on, 4. Thank you, Lord. The week's going to go better. I praise you. Because there's nothing right now, but there's going to be something. Thank you, Lord. Your posture matters a whole bunch right now. Yeah, it does. It does. It does. It's fervent. It's effectual. When I drive away in my car away from San Antonio, I have a couple of radio stations that I like to tune into. K-Love, of course. And when I drive towards like Corpus Christi, the Valley, K-Love starts messing up like in Pleasanton, I've noticed. It just starts losing signal, static. And maybe I'll catch it all the way past Oakville where they serve that good barbecue. You know, maybe I'll start picking up K-Love in Corpus and tune it in there. Well, I got WOAI. WOAI can go on all the way to Corpus, I've noticed. Well, if I'm listening to Kono, I'm going all the way to Austin, going that way. It gets a little bit weak after maybe I get to New Braunfels or the Hill. It's just not there anymore. I lose signal. I lose signal of those radio stations that I like. But the closer I get to that transmitter, that power station, the stronger the signal gets. And same thing with you, beloved. The closer that you get to God, the stronger your power will be in God to do great things. We just got to get close to the power. Do you understand that? The source is God. It's not you. It's the source of God in your life today. Lord, make us holy people hearing your voice today. Thank God for instruments that we have. Thank God for technology. But God, now move through the hearts of people in this room. Move, God, through the hearts of men and women in this room that are the people of God. I speak that over your life, and I declare that this moment, at this very moment. Amen. Thank God we have all the tools, but we need God to move in our lives today. Don't quit praying for your marriage. Don't be weary in your well-doing to ask God to move upon your family. You've given up on praying for healing right now. In the name of Jesus, don't give up. Amen. God can do the impossible. Out of nothing, He makes something happen. Amen. Finally, number 4, expectantly praying today. Somebody say, start small, but start now. In Kings 18:44, the seventh time the servant reported, it's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Just a little sum of something. Just a little something. It's not much, but it's something. It's a size of a, that's not big. That's pretty. It's just a little. And God is giving us a down payment even in this room right now because you're sensing the anointing of God. I feel the presence of God in this room. If you'll grab a hold of that little sum, you'll be set free from that addiction. You'll be set free from that blinding thing that you can't see today. God's going to bless you today. But grab a hold of it. Lock in, amen. Don't leave yet, amen. And he says this. He said, the little cloud, that little hand, like the size, that cloud, it's rising from the sea. It's a rain cloud. So Elijah said, from that moment, he said, go tell it, Ahab, hitch up the chariot and go down before the rain stops him. I love to celebrate the small in every day because I've learned when I do that, it introduces something larger to me. When I introduce the small of starting something small, but starting it now, and celebrate the small beginning because the Bible speaks of that. Did you know that today? Do not despise the small beginning because God is there in the small. Amen. And so there's something significant, mom, in this room when you clean the house every day. Or you clean it once a month. Give me a good amen. There's something significant. I'm picking up his socks. There's something significant in that. There's something significant, man of God, when you work 8 to 5, then you come home. And you're a good dad. And you're a good husband. There's something significant. I got to come home. I got to do this. No, thank God for that small beginning. There's something significant when you make breakfast for your children, your grandchildren. There, you ought to thank God. You celebrate those small beginnings. Do you understand that today? There was a baby that that we celebrated. In building one, when we were remodeling it, this contractor, we didn't have a sign. We had small beginnings. We didn't even have the sign that's out there that's not... And this contractor, he spray painted with spray paint, Living Faith. And he put it outside the building when we were remodeling it. We didn't have the money to put church. We just put Living Faith. Amen. But it was a small beginning. And we had that sign on the outside as we remodeled and people were coming in and checking out the church. And it was a Dale Bread store. We were transforming it into the house of God. And so this couple drove by and... they looked at that name that was spray painted. Oh, Chaffa, man. Living Faith. Some of y'all interpret that for the people that don't know heaven's language. And they said, Living Faith. Living Faith. Living Faith. See, their baby was named Faith. And the baby had died. It was a baby that was born, and she passed away quickly after birth. And they came into the house. They took a step of faith, strangers. His name was Mauricio. Do you remember his name, Mike? And he came in, and he was part of our church. And we celebrated that small beginning. Man, I got so many miles off that miracle. I preached it every week about faith coming in, now living faith. A baby now was born again in their hearts, and that baby continued to live in their heart. You understand that today? And so that was a small beginning for us. Mauricio doesn't even come here with his family anymore. I don't know what happened to him, but we lived it then. That was a miracle for us. And that was a small beginning. Now many Mauricios have come because we've given thanks. We have a larger platform now because we gave thanks for that small beginning today. Can you imagine the clothing ministry in a few years because we've done what we've done with what we don't have? How it's grown even with nothing, no warehouse space, nothing. And God has provided month after month for us to do an effective outreach. I can see a great store, a coffee house built into that store. How about you? Would you let vision arise? Amen. Yeah, amen. It can happen. Amen. Because we believe it today. We can't be tired anymore. Amen. We got things to do. Give me a good amen. Amen. So thank Jesus for every small beginning that you have, no matter how insignificant it seems. Thank God right there, because God will build something larger when you thank him at that point of smallness today. Mark chapter 11, the promises of God are for you to incite, amen, to give you ignition. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it. If it honors God, it should happen, right? and it will be yours. Somebody say, it's mine.
It's mine.
So real confidence happens because I heard God's voice through his word, and now I'm healed. Now I have provision. Now I have the blessing. Kings 18:45-46. Band, would you come up? We got to dismiss. I want the presence of God to happen right now in our lives right now, because we need God's presence, and there's nothing more beautiful than worship arising. Are you there with me right now, church?
Amen.
Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and the wind rose, and the heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel, and the power of the Lord came upon Elijah. Why don't you say that with me one more time, that last sentence? The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. It goes on to say that he girded himself. The verses continue because he had this cloak, this long cloak thing, and he had to gird himself and put it into his belt so he could run. And he outran Ahab's kingly chariot that were probably full of horses. It's the king's chariot, so it's powerful, it's running, it's fast. And here's this older man that girds himself, ties it, and begins to run. He outran the secret service detail that was in front of the chariot for the king and kept going all the way to Jezreel. And you know how far it was? It wasn't from here to Dollar General, because I can sprint that far. How about you? Let's have a race. Let's see it. Amen. He ran 15 miles from Carmel all the way to Jezreel. And a man, do you see how supernatural that was? Faith's fuel will keep you going. The fuel of faith, of seeing something, it's about to rain, and the rain is catching up to me. The drought is over. The drought is coming to an end in my life today. There's a cloud about the size of a man's hand, and it's rising. Quick, get the chariot. I'm going to gird myself, and I'm going to begin to run today. Why don't we stand together in the atmosphere of worship? Let's believe God for the impossible. What do you need? Listen, look everybody. Look, don't miss out on your blessing. Can we dim the lights a little bit? What do you need right now from God that he can only do? There's lots. Oh, Lord, we want the church in revival. We want that person changed. There's a story, a Jewish proverb of this man named Hanai, and it's a Jewish tale. And he wanted everything to change around him, but God told him, draw a circle and get in the middle of that circle, and do not leave that circle until you change. And if you change, everything else will change around you. And so as the song rises right now, and we have spiritual drought in our hearts, we have spiritual drought in our marriage, in our lives today, I want to change today. You need to change. And so we lift our hands towards an almighty, powerful God that can change us. And we connect today with God because he's our source today. And we'd start off by saying, God, change me first, Lord. Before you change the church, God, before you change my husband, my wife, but my child today, change me, Lord. Do something. Let it rise today. The atmosphere is charged right now with faith. Let faith arise right now. Let faith rise right now in the midst. Begin to ask God to change you. And he will in this moment today. The altar's going to be open for this moment. Right now I'm doing something unusual that I usually don't do. But it takes an unusual posture. It takes something different if you want something different to happen in your life. So whatever you have to do to humble yourself, you can do that right now, and God will meet you like he met Elijah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Hear the word roaring as thunder with the new future to tell. For the dry season is over.